Good evening, James McKinney here with my Science Hour, February 4th, 2016. And first of all, a couple of quick announcements. My main science topics tonight, I'll be talking about the Zika mosquito, the issue that is drawing a lot of attention today. I'll be talking about the science of water pollution. Very interesting topic. I'll also be talking about the moon and some very strange topography on the moon, which raises some serious questions about the stories we have been told about the moon. And so anyway, those are the three main science topics. Last night, well, yesterday was a busy day. Wednesdays many times are for me. As far as interviews in the morning, of course, I have my weekly interview with a guy named John Moore. I'm on his weekly radio show every Wednesday morning, his first hour. And then in the evening, 7:30 p.m., that was Central Time. That was Eastern Time. But you can look at the archive of this if you missed it live. On the Liberty Beacon television network, I was a guest with Roger Landry, who is the host. Also, another guest, Dr. David Lewis. Now, 2 weeks ago, I had an interview with them, and the topic was corruption in science or science for sale. I was about 5 minutes into my initial narrative, and the lights went out. I mean, that's just an expression. Everything went. And so anyway, needless to say, I was not able to complete that interview. But let's see how we fared this week. But you can see the interview of last night. Then at 8:30, I was a guest with Randy Maugins of Off Planet Television. And so anyway, that's another show archive that you can take a look at if you missed it live. Update on last week's show, I gave a update on the Bundy situation in Oregon. And a listener wrote in, and I misstated something, which, given the amount of confusion and information that's floating around, I did have my story a bit incorrect, so I'm going to correct it. Apparently what happened is the Bundys and his people, one of whom ended up being shot dead at a standoff out in the middle of nowhere on a road. Anyway, the Bundys had a scheduled negotiation with the FBI. The FBI didn't show up. And so anyway, Bundy and his group were in a car going to a small town, I guess about 70 miles away from the federal reserve complex where they were occupying the complex there. But anyway, it was at that point they were going to this little town to have a talk dealing with constitutional issues. It was on his way to that to give that discussion with the local people where they basically trapped him on the road, pulled him over, totally illegal, of course, because there's no, you know, there's, and then charged them with felony counts, etc. So anyway, the bottom line is do not negotiate with the federal government. And the other issue there is very clear that vast corruption in the government, locals, county, state, in that area of Oregon, in the political system. The governor is bought, paid for. In fact, not even an elected governor. This woman is not even an elected official. She was an appointee after the official governor was thrown out due to vast corruption. So she was an appointee. She's not even the governor, really. The sheriff is an ex-BLM agent. It can't get any better. And the judge on the case is a appointee federal judge, of course, and none of this should even be in the hands of the federal government. It's a state issue. Now, you know, so the federal government is in there. They have no jurisdiction. They're bullying their way around. And anyway, In fact, this week I haven't had any up to date news. So, but anyway, that's an update because I misspoke last week. Here's something that happened this past week. I was stung by a bee, and so I didn't die. I mean, it was not fun. I don't like bee stings. But what I learned in the aftermath was that bee stings are being used around the world for curing various maladies, many things that are dealing with the nervous system. And I have not had time to study that really or to look into it any further. But the more I look into this, the more this is actually happening. So I don't know if it shocks the system into responding or if there's some chemical in the bee sting, but they actually have controlled bee stings for people that have certain maladies. I doubt if this is used in the good old U.S. of A., where everything is prescription drugs bought and paid for by Big Pharma. I can't remember if I announced this last week, but NASA has come out due to this announcement by Michael Brown, astronomer, Tier 2 fairy tale science astronomer from Caltech, and his band of merry astronomers out there, who announced that they did a computer simulation and it gives them evidence, they claim, that there is a Planet X object. They call it Planet 9, oddly enough. But anyway, this week, NASA comes out and says it's going to be the official final word on this topic of Planet X. And they got some yo-yo, I don't know who he was, comes out and he gives this little spiel. And then at the end, he's like reminisces with Carl Sagan and the openness of science and the beauty of scientific inquiry. I just about puked to think that NASA would come out and now wants to be the authority, the official authority, on the topic of Planet X. Good grief. The creeping crud doesn't get any more creeping than that. I've had many articles sent in by listeners, but I'm not going to cover these Tier 2 fairy tale science things like that anymore. It's just a waste of my show time, which is valuable. It's 1 hour long. So I'm going to refrain from those things. They're just really not worth talking about unless they give me a takeoff point to really discuss them, real science. And that's something, too, I want to tell you. I'm going to be doing a lot more real science on this show. I have so many other venues to talk about political issues, etc., that I will not be including them on this show in the future as much as possible. Once again, I want to prep my audience for something that is coming down the road here, and it's going to hit in another week and a half about. It was supposed to launch in early January, but because of certain technical issues, it's been delayed. But I just want you to keep a ear to the rail that something new, big, and very exciting is coming about, and I want you to just keep an ear out. That's all I'm going to tell you now. Very interesting stuff. It turns out, I announced last week, I was talking about the Flint, Michigan water problem. It turns out that the governor, for 6 months previously, had been importing bottled water into his offices for his staff. So they fully knew about this problem in Flint, Michigan the whole time, while the public, especially the very poor public there in Flint, Michigan. I looked up the statistics on the people in Flint, Michigan. The average household income is like $14,000 a year. That's the average. You know, and I mean, this is poverty-ridden, you know, the city. And a lot of people, I understand, couldn't even pay their water bill, so they didn't even have water, let alone. I mean, the situation in this country is so horrendous. People who think, oh, there's no problem. In fact, I had a friend of mine that went up to Flint, Michigan last summer, and he was commenting. He said, I drove through there. He said it looked like a bomb zone. He had not been there in a while. But this country is so coming apart at the seams. and the governors, that's one of the biggest problems, is the politicians are not capable of leading. They're not capable of doing anything. They have their Office of Public Relations, which tries to schmooze things over and cover them up and make them look good so they'll win the next election. This country is so toast, and it has such horrible leadership. And no, Donald Trump is not the answer. Excuse me. It's not worth talking about. The same entourage of Democrats and Republicans. What a bunch of happy baloney. It's just ridiculous. So it is time, and this is something that I'll be talking about more in the future. We're going to be taking this country back, and it's going to happen because the politicians are just going to go out. There's a process that used to happen out in the Old West. It's called tar and feathering. It was not exactly fun, so they'd melt tar, pour it on the person, and then throw chicken feathers all over them and then run them out of town. And so anyway, that's going to be happening here to a lot of politicians soon. And it ain't going to be pretty, but it's got to happen. A few weeks ago, I gave a discussion in my show regarding flight times between our solar system and other star systems. And I talked about how I call it the 1G program, in which you accelerate at 1G, that's one Earth gravity, at that acceleration until you get up to 3/4 the speed of light. So you're not dealing with relativistic effects or anything like that. You're still well into Newtonian type of physics. And I made a comment about traveling to the planets like this. So you go a 1G acceleration, then you cruise for a bit in the middle, and then you decelerate at 1G, at negative 1G, I should say, because you're decelerating, and then you get to your location. The time to do this, to get to Pluto, if you do this, is 10 days. The time to get to Mars is 1 day. So, the hogwash that is being handed to you by NASA is strictly that. NASA is an agency whose sole purpose is to prevent you, the public, from getting into outer space. To pretend like they're doing something, but they are so far off base. It took them, the better part of 10 years to get to Pluto with their little New Horizons spacecraft. Well, that's nice, and I enjoyed the pictures as much as anybody else. But you can beat a Pluto in 10 days, less than 2 weeks, boys and girls. Took NASA 10 years. Sometimes I take a look at what the solar system is doing, and sometimes I look into the future. And this time, I took a look far into the future to see the type of planetary alignments that might happen. And I was looking for some particular ones, primarily the inner solar system planets. That would be Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars. Not talking about the outer planets, not looking at effects from Jupiter or Saturn or anything else. So here are some very interesting dates. May 11th, 2016. Mercury, Earth, and Mars in electrical alignment. And these only last for like a day. Here we have March 26, 2025. Mercury, Venus, and Earth. Then this Mercury, Venus, Earth goes into a cycle because it's March 26, 2025, and then you get the same redundancy on June 5th, 2028. How about June 2nd, 2030? How about August 9, 2031? And so these are dates when these inner solar system planetary electrical alignments occur. And so I'll be talking about more as some of these come up. But the first one is May 11th, 2016. Oh, and I missed one here, sorry. October 29th, 2018. It is the Venus approach, which is the closest in a long time. So that's October 29th, 2018. So once again, May 11th, 2016 is just this year, Mercury, Earth, and Mars. And so Mercury is the fleet-footed messenger from mythology, from old Greek mythology, and also is kind of a spark plug for everything else that goes on in the solar system, because if you can get that electrical discharge going right out from the sun, from little Mercury, which is very close to the sun, then that can be like a spark plug in an engine. Boom. Things can happen. That's May 11, 2016. That's not to say that it will, but that's just one of those where you add up the various factors. Now, I haven't added in the lunar conditions here. I'll be doing more of this in the future, but I just wanted to concentrate on those inner four planets, Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars. Oh, by the way, a couple product announcements here. First of all, my super sale that I went back to, this is the same sale prices I had before Christmas. I had raised them for a while, and until some new marketing type of things came out for my water filter products, which are coming out this coming week, I went back to the super sale. And so anyway, the super sale is on the primary water filters and on the 10 packs of GF filter elements. But that sale will end on Sunday at midnight, this coming Sunday. So if you haven't gotten your 10-pack of filter elements yet, or if you're looking for a stainless steel filter, that all the information is on the webpage, so I'm not going to repeat that here. Just saying that the sale will come down and end this Sunday night. And this includes free shipping. It's really a pretty good deal. And the GF filters take out everything in the bad in the water, leave the minerals, and without any add-on filters. There's nothing like them on the market. Made in the United States. These are made in the United States, so very proud of that. But anyway, that sale ends this Sunday night, so go to the webpage, jmccsci.com. That's JMCC, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com. Also, I have a new product formulation, and it's called the Everything Package. It's for books, either ebooks or print books. You can have that option. But then it's literally everything. It includes the calendar, the three posters, all of the CDs, the DVDs, the e-downloadable DVDs, which there's a couple of those now, all of the books. And anyway, it's described on the web page, the sales page. But that's for people who just want, there's a table there that has all of the books, all of the CDs, DVDs, the calendar, the posters, all of them described there. Everything there is in a single package. So that is on my webpage. I won't talk about it anymore on the show, just so that people know that. It's a great thing if somebody wants like to really study my work. That includes everything. And believe me, if you sit down, especially if you're new to this topic, good grief. I've been doing this since, my whole life, but publicly since 1979. And I was reminiscing with some other talk show hosts the other day, some people that have been long-term. And they said, you know, McCanny, you're the guy that's been here the longest of anybody. You pick out the big names in radio or alternative television or whatever else. I outdate all of them and some of them all put together. I was at Cornell University in 1979 confronting NASA scientists at that major university, telling them that they were all full of baloney. By 1982, I had been well immersed in the secret societies when I was out in Los Angeles. And Los Angeles looking for funding for my aerospace projects in the military. And then that's where I realized who these people were that were running everything in the military, in the science. That's when, you know, a lot of realizations came during that time. But anyway, not to blow my own horn or beat my own drum here too loudly, but, you know, that's when you look at all of the people that have come since, I really think it's wonderful that we have such a strong alternative media these days. It's really pounding on the wall of the world out there, the people that are operating it, and they're no longer hidden. That's their biggest tool, is being hidden. And so when I talk about the bankers owning science, or science and corruption in science, or science for sale, you know, the scientists should be at the forefront of freedom, of free thinking, of independence. And they're all a bunch of squirrels in a tree waiting for the next government nut to be handed to them. It is so pathetic. But now I'm going to jump into the first main science topic tonight, the Zika mosquito. Now, if you haven't heard of this, Zika is it's like a virus that comes from mosquitoes, and it was imported into South America from Africa. And at any rate, it's like dengue or the other forms of dengue, the more modern forms of dengue. I had dengue when I was in the tropics, living in the tropics, probably 1973 to 74. And it was not fun, but it's something that lasted a number of days. And, I mean, you couldn't move. Everything turned, you know, I couldn't move. I mean, my whole body just had this dull pain. Certainly nothing fun. But I got over it, and I got better. And but now the varieties of dengue that are coming out, the people are not getting better. And it's really very difficult. But Zika is a dengue kind of virus that comes from mosquitoes. But what's going on is in Brazil, now this has come out this past week or 2 weeks by some investigators, and John Rappaport has done a great report on this. So anyway, some of this I'm taking from what these people did, and some of it now I'm going to add my own original research into this topic. They have identified that Bill Gates and the boys had funded some research through Big Pharma and some of the related companies, including Monsanto. And what they did was they developed a laboratory mosquito, and they released it in this area of Brazil as an experiment. And the concept was that the male laboratory GMO mosquitoes would breed with the females of the natural mosquito, but the larva would die off and not duplicate, so they would eradicate this particular species of mosquito that carried the Zika virus. The problem is, and they actually knew this in the laboratory, is if the mosquitoes had access to tetracycline, which is an antibiotic, it's used a great deal in agriculture in the animals. Well, Brazil is one of the largest users of tetracycline on the planet. They need this because they live in a tropical area, and it's to give the animals that are in very confined areas antibiotics. And so anyway, the mosquito then feeds on the animals that have tetracycline, and the end result is a super mosquito that can't be killed. Now, in that same area, the women are having babies. They're telling the women, don't have babies. Can you imagine this in Brazil, trying to educate people not to have babies? It's one of the largest growing populations on the planet. And the babies are being born with small heads and brain damage. But the Zika virus is everywhere. And this is the part of my own research that I've done, is that my research has confirmed, it's not a laboratory study, it's not publishable in a peer-reviewed medical journal. It's just my ability to go out and search into some of these areas, and I might emphasize that it's just some of these areas. But the women are not having problems with babies, even though the Zika virus is common all over Latin America and Central America and other parts of the world. And so it appears that the GMO mosquito, and this has been a suspicion of some people and it might be pointing to this, is that the GMO mosquito is the problem, and that the birth defects are a direct cause of putting in this genetically modified mosquito into a natural population. And of course, there was not sufficient testing. These people are nuts. You got Bill Gates trying to force vaccinations on kids in third world countries. They're putting mosquitoes, dumping them into a live population without understanding what the effects are. You know, you have companies like Monsanto that are associated with aerial spraying, chemtrail spraying in the United States. There's no question about it. We have to take this country back in the entire world. The disaster, you know, the wars, the economic wars, that's a topic that I'll be covering a lot, not on this show, but the economic wars, the economic tools of mass destruction, I call them, weapons of mass destruction economically, internationally, that's a topic I have been covering. If you remember, before Christmas, actually I was on a television show with the Liberty Beacon, where I gave a discussion about Scepter, the banksters, and economic collapse. And I wrote a little paper. It's on my webpage, the left column of the main homepage. You can read it. It's called Scepter, S-C-E-P-T-E-R. At any rate, this is going on. And so anyway, that was my first main science topic. I wanted to just state that what I've found out is that the women who are not in the region where they introduced the GMO mosquito, apparently, even though they have the Zika virus, they're still having babies that are okay, that don't have this problem. And it's so extensive in Brazil that they're literally telling people not to have babies. If this isn't insane world rich people in the world trying to run things. And by the way, if you look at the presidential candidates, they're all associated with wealthy, wealthy, wealthy people. You know, and they're the pawns. These guys that run for president, their egos are just bursting at the seams. They all want to be president, but they are minions of the world bankers. That's what's going on. Let me quick talk now about, or not quickly, I'll be discussing this in a bit more depth, the science of water pollution. Water is our most important resource on this planet. It is drastically being reduced in quality. The quantity is there. We have great quantities of fresh water, but it's being owned by companies like Nestle and Coca-Cola, etc. But to do this, to start this discussion, I'm going to go to the subpage on my homepage, and this is the specification sheet for my GF filters. And I'm not going to go through the information on the formulation, other than that these filters elements are NSF certified. That means they have an NSF national certification that they are continually being tested during manufacturing, and they are certified to do what the claims are in the specification page. The pathogenic bacteria. Okay, I'm going to go down the list now of things that these filters take out. And in, you know, you might think, oh, pathogenic bacteria, that's only in tropical countries, you don't have a problem. Let me tell you something. If you live in a big city today, your water comes through and you take that glass of water out of the tap and it looks clean. You can't see it, but the levels of venom and poison and literally all of these things that I'm going to read off, you can't see in the water. You can taste the water, is funny, but pathogenic bacteria. It's very common in drinking water. Cholera, typhoid, salmonella, E. coli, fecal coliform. These are things that are typical in your water system. In small amounts, but you don't want to be drinking these. And in some areas, they are very prevalent. Cysts. Cysts are microorganisms that can then populate your body. Cryptosporidium parvum, Giardia lamblia, some of these I can hardly pronounce. But then sediment. If you do this. Take any kind of dish, a plastic dish or a glass dish. Put some water in it and let it evaporate, okay, from your tap. Just straight out of your tap. Let it evaporate and look at the powder that comes out the bottom that is in that water. Chloramines. Oh, my goodness. This is something relatively new. Most of us talk about fluoridated water, and it's a sodium, it's a compound of sodium and fluoride, and it's highly, highly toxic and poisonous, and it does a number on your nervous system. It was known prior to World War II that affected people, made them lethargic. It took away their will to do things. But now they're putting something called chloramines. It's a byproduct of chlorides. And these are really, really, really bad for you. In a lot of places, especially Florida, other places where they have desalinization plants, California, they're putting chloramines in the water to cover up the bad taste that comes from mixing really bad subsurface water that they get from wells and reverse osmosis seawater. That is one of the primary reasons why they're putting chloramines in the water. Chlorine. No, if you want to drink something that is really not good for you, look at chlorine. You can't say enough about chlorine, but it is in the water. In a lot of places, it's being put in the water. Lead. Flint, Michigan is a primary example where lead is not only in the water, but it has impregnated the piping in the town. Once you get enough lead into the system, it grows in cakes onto the pipes. And this then breaks off and comes loose in chunks. And so you get a blast of it. I did a little more research on the filters that they're giving away up in Flint, Michigan. It's a Brita faucet-attached filter. And it's got a little filter element that is changeable. But under industrial conditions, like they're dealing with the lead poisoning and many other poisons in the water in Flint, Michigan, that filter will last for about 30 gallons of water. And then it's not going to work anymore. So that's gone in the first day. It's so disgusting to see how this is being handled in Flint, Michigan. These poor people have no place to turn. They're distributing these Brita filters through the fire stations there. And that's one of the things I tried to do last week, is to call up and see where they were getting these and what the situation was and how they could get real filters in, like the filters that I sell, for example, how they could get a real quality filter in there that will last for a sustainable amount of time, not just a single afternoon. And I can't even get an answer back. Nobody will call. Nobody will talk to anybody. And this poor lady I talked to at a fire station, she goes, "I'm just the lady that answers the phone." And she was just trying to be nice, but nobody ever called back from Flint, Michigan. And what I was trying to do was help out. But anyway, they have their set routine up there, and those people are being poisoned by drinking the water. And if they think those little stupid filters are working, those filters are meant for somebody that's got pretty clean water coming out. and just to take out the final little, you know, the little bit of sediment or something that might come through in a normal clean water system. They're not meant for the industrial use lead contamination that you're finding in Flint, Michigan. So once again, it's typical government ineptitude. And, you know, I don't want to say anything bad about the Brita company. They produce a product and it has a use. But that is not the use. That should not be what it's used for. So anyway, I mean, you got to talk about this stuff on the air. And if Brita wants to come back and come after me or something like that, whatever. I don't care. Got to tell the truth. These people are trying to pawn off a product to try and get it into this area where it will not solve the problem. Then they're as guilty as the politicians that are pawning these off on the public and not telling the real story or the real capabilities of what these little filters are capable of doing and what they're not capable of doing. Fluoride. Wow. Now, remember, I'm reading down the list of things, all of this stuff that's in your water that my filter elements take out. And sure, you might take this as an advertisement, but I'm talking about pollution that is in your water. And the list gets a lot worse. Fluoride is put in the water supposedly to give you bright, clean teeth and to prevent bacteria and other bad things in the water. Wow. fluoride is a highly poisonous substance. There was an instance a number of years ago I did reporting on a truck that had the sodium fluoride compound in it was coming into the parking lot of a municipal water supply facility where it was going to dump the fluoride off for use in the water facility, and some of it spilt on the concrete in the parking lot. They had to get a special emergency response team out there to clean it up, and it ate a hole in the concrete. This is what they're putting in your water all over the country. And when you get done using it, that fluoride goes down in the water system, and it goes back into the water table. Now, that's the other part of this, is that all of these things that are being put in your water are cumulative, so they put more and more in your water. This is going down into the water table and accumulating. So the fluoride, the chloramines, the chlorine, the lead, the sediment, the cysts, the pathogenic bacteria that's coming through your water system all gets dumped back down into the water table. And wait till I get to some of these other items here. And by the way, these are all the things that my water filter elements take out, remove from the water. The next item on the list, VOCs, volatile organic compounds. Oh my goodness. If you ever took organic chemistry, organic compounds are those things that are primarily have carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, and nitrogen as bases. Those are the primary elements. But some of these compounds, and of course they get rather complicated, they come in from cleansers, they come in from all of the things that you use in industry or in the household, the chemicals, etc. A lot of it goes down the drain. And when it goes down the drain and it goes off to that processing plant that smells bad, if you happen to live near one or you know where one is and you drive by occasionally, that is not designed or meant or intended to take out fluoride or volatile organic compounds or lead or chlorine or chloramines or anything else. It's simply meant to break down the human waste and break it down into its constituent components. But all of these other things go right through there and off into the water, whether it goes into a river, whether it goes into the water table. Metals, oh my goodness. Metals are some of the worst thing for your body, and we need trace elements of many metals in our body, but there are some certain ones that are highly poisonous. Aluminum, iron, mercury, nickel, zinc, and a list of quite a few other ones. But these are horrendous. They accumulate in your body, and this is the problem. And so when these are in your water because of pollution, primarily these come from industry, from pollution from industry, and lead is listed apart from heavy metals. Lead is really a metal. But these are so bad for you, you really have to get them out of your water. But the majority of people are drinking these every day. And as I said, they accumulate in your water, in your body. They build up over time. A lot of people's maladies today are associated with the water they drink. My estimate, this is my personal estimate, is that 90% of bad health can be attributed to the water you drink. And you should be drinking a lot of water. It's this thing that cleans your system out, etc. By the way, do not drink water that is demineralized. Don't drink water that has been by an evaporation process, for example, because the minerals are not included in that. And so the reverse osmosis, you're just getting pure H2O, and that's not good for you because imagine, let's just do it this way. Imagine two containers of water. One has minerals in it, the other one doesn't. The one with minerals in it is your body. Your cells, every cell in your body has a balance of minerals. Now, if you pour in demineralized water, and what it's going to do is dilute. In fact, those minerals are going to try and leach into the region where there's into the water that does not have any. That's just the way it works. And so eventually you're going to leach minerals out of your body, and you're going to end up basically very, very sickly. Arsenic is in the majority of water that comes from subsurface sources, wells. Arsenic is one of the most common poison. It's a deadly poison. It accumulates in your system over time. And by the time you're 50 years old, you've had enough arsenic in your city water to kill you. I'm kidding you. And so arsenic is accumulative. You have to get that out of your water. And now just a comment here. Fluoride and arsenic, the old add-on filters, remember, and I used to sell these, and at the time, that was the best product available, where you had an add-on filter, and it had a chemicals in there that actually took, chemically, it took the fluoride and arsenic out of the water. Now that is included in the filter element itself, plus the ability to take out all of these other things additionally besides arsenic and fluoride. The old filter elements did not take any of this stuff out. And like I was explaining to someone in an email, they were asking a question about the new GF filters. You know, the old filters, I was selling Dalton's many years ago, then I changed to my own name brand filters, and then we got the manufacturing plant in the U.S., the filters that I'm selling now, the GF filters that take all of this stuff out, there's nothing like that. It's like light years ahead of what we were trying to sell a number of years ago. And it's not that we were trying to sell something bad a number of years ago. That was the best thing available at that time. Now there's great improvements. The next, my point was that the old add-on filters only took out fluoride and arsenic. Only those two, not the rest of these. Now you get all of these taken out in a single filter element. Glyphosates, this is the stuff that comes from Roundup. Oh my goodness, talk about bad for you. Now there's an interesting case that just happened. The United Nations put out a study which was peer-reviewed and published in Nature magazine, stating that glyphosate was a second-level carcinogen. Monsanto, who is the primary manufacturer of glyphosate-related products, which is Roundup, used in agriculture all over the United States, prohibited now in most countries in the world, glyphosate is what gets into your system and comes in through the water. You got to get that out of your water. The next one, oh my goodness, pharmaceuticals. Oh, progesterone, acetaminophen, ibuprofen, naproxen sodium, and a whole laundry list of other pharmaceuticals. You have to get these out of your water. Imagine the following. All of the pharmaceuticals that people take, whether they're off the shelf or they come from a prescription, those are very long-lived chemicals. They don't break down in your system. They're not processed in that water treatment plant over on the edge of town. They stay in the water. And so the end result is that these are accumulating. So take all of the drugs that are in the drugstore, in your local one, and all across town, and all across the country, all of the chemicals, the pharmaceuticals that are in all of those bottles, go through people and they end up in the water table, and they're accumulative. They don't go away. So more and more every day. Just imagine all those chemicals going into the water table and then coming through the pipe into that glass of water that looks really clear in your hand when you take water out of the tap. But believe me, it's full of pharmaceuticals, and every day it has more. Herbicides. We are inundated today with herbicides, and these, you have to get these out of your water. In nitrates. Nitrates, do you know what they use nitrates for? Go down to the hardware store and buy rat poison. That's what it is, nitrates. That's the same stuff they use in preservatives in that good-tasting sausage and hot dogs you buy at the store. Nitrates, really, really bad for you. Carcinogen. And it'll kill you. That's what it is. It's a poison. And when you go to buy rat poison, read the label. That's what it is. It's in your water. It's in your food. Don't, please don't buy processed meat. Walk by that counter in the grocery store. If you're unfortunate enough to have to go to a grocery store to get your food, stay away from the processed meat department, please. But all of this is, a lot of this is coming in through agriculture. The pharmaceuticals, a lot of it comes through agriculture, the glyphosates, the nitrates, the herbicides. Oh my goodness, look at what's going into the water table, and then this comes through the faucet, and your city water supply does not treat this on its way to you, and it certainly doesn't treat it after it leaves your house. So the bottom line is that I started talking about the science of water pollution. Now you can thank a place called the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, for allowing this pollution. They have what they call acceptable limits, and these are set by the government. The acceptable limits that can be in your water. What we're doing now is we're starting to go around and test water supplies, because this is not being done. It's not being done by your local government. It's not going to be done by your local government. There are no federal standards that apply. They have minimal standards. And Billy Clinton did a schmooze move a number of years ago. And it was to get control of the water supplies. They upped the ante on arsenic, only on arsenic, not anything else, and said that if these city water supplies don't comply, then they're going to come in and find them and take them over. This was part of the UN Agenda 21. And so what they did is they first went around the country to get the average arsenic level in water, and they set the standard below that. So that allowed, they already knew this when Clinton signed that law, saying that there was had to be, they were cut the standard by a level of 3. It wasn't to protect you. It was so that they could come in and take over the local water supplies, and that's what they did. And then water became very expensive. If you remember, about 3 years ago, did your water bill go up? Well, everybody else's did. All of these things being done in the background, when Daddy Bush got out of being president, old man Bush, not George Jr., the ding-dong, but the old man, one of the most corrupt, evil men to ever crawl out from under the CIA rock on the planet, when he got done being president for one term, handed the baton off to his good buddy, Billy Clinton, in the drug trade, old man Bush goes up to Canada and starts working out of the Royal Bank of Canada, controlling the water rights in the Western Hemisphere. That's what George Sr. did when he got out of office. That's when they went down to South America, bought up hundreds of thousands of acres of land on top of one of the biggest aquifers in the world. Do you think they were planning on taking control of water? So, at any rate, this discussion was about the science of water pollution. The United States is the most polluted location on Earth, and other places in the world are very much either second. China has some areas that are so polluted that the people, they just can't even live there. Next to some of the places, which, by the way, you talk about green energy and so-called three-blade wind generators. The process that develops the magnets in those three-blade wind generators is the most horrific process in the world. They have destroyed vast areas of China to get the niobium, which is necessary for those magnets. So it's not a green industry at all. Three-blade wind generators, no. That's why, by the way, just a little bit of an update on the wing generator. A lot of people curious about what's going on there. I try and keep that a bit in the background, but we're waiting for the manufacturing facility to come online. That's all I'm going to say. It's moving ahead, and like a lot of things, it's a big job. So when things start to pop with that, I'll give you some more information. Okay, so to summarize this topic of water pollution, the water is being polluted just from every direction. The EPA sets standards, and what happens? If companies meet those standards, you have thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of companies and household pollutants also all over the country that are within so-called limits. So when you use that hyper super strong cleanser for the bathroom, for the toilet, for the sink, whatever, and all that goes down the drain, looks pretty nice, but that's all going to stay. Look at what you're pouring down that drain. That's going to be coming back through your faucet in the future. Not only your faucet, but everybody you know, including your kids. That's why I'm in the water filter business, because I believe people need clean water and you need some water filter product that takes all of this stuff out of your water. So at least what you're cooking with, what you're drinking, etc., has all this stuff taken out. So anyway, a little bit on the science of water pollution. Next topic, the moon. Now, this is very interesting. I have studied the moon, for my whole career. But recently, I thought I really have to make some serious efforts to educate the public. And this kind of came to a head here a number of weeks ago with some Tier 2 fairy tale science talking about the moon and the Earth being created from a super planet 4 billion years ago. And the reason for this came from a study in which they examined so-called moon rocks from the alleged Apollo landings and Earth rocks, and they said the oxygen content was the same. So with that, they determined that the Earth and the moon once were one piece. Well, the only problem is they needed a third thing to crash into it. But, of course, in good old NASA Tier 2 fairy tale science style, they said that this had to happen billions of years ago, out of sight, out of mind. The only problem is it doesn't work. Because if you have some fictitious force that blows two entities apart in a gravitational structure, there's no way to get rotational angular momentum into the system to make them orbit one another. They will go out, and then they will come back, and they will fall back together. That's the way it works. And so, you know, the fact that they had the same amount of oxygen in the Earth rocks compared to moon rocks, well, first of all, the moon rocks probably came from Arizona. So, you know, it's a big surprise that they had the same amount of oxygen. But let's give them the benefit of the doubt that somehow they got a hold of some moon rocks. Maybe they bought them from the Russians. But at any rate, the moon rocks on the surface of the moon have nothing to do with the moon because it's constantly being bombarded by rocks and dust and things from afar. So the surface of the moon has absolutely nothing to do with the birth of the moon. But at any rate, it gives me a chance to discuss the real cause of our moon and Earth. And I've often said that the moon could have been here before the Earth. But the way capture works, which is the basis for my model of solar system development, is that the comets come in, the big ones, they develop, they grow, because they have enough surface gravity to maintain the material that's falling into them from the comet tail, the plasma discharge comet model. And as these bodies start to migrate into the same orbit, possibly there's one that already became nestled into its circular orbit, possibly the moon first, possibly Earth first, then the other one comes in, the tail drag on the comet that's coming in slows it down and lets it drop into an orbit where they're co-rotating. That's how it works. That's how the plasma discharge comet model explains the ability of planets to capture a moon or a second body, or in the case of Jupiter, many, many moons, or in the case of Saturn, Saturn, I believe, has more moons than Jupiter, but even though it's not quite as big. But the surface of the moon, many of the craters are covered and filled in as if there were dust storms constantly there. So look on my picture of the day. I've got some more information there about Mars and the moon. Mars has a very sparse atmosphere, but the moon doesn't have any. I also show some areas of the moon that look like water erosion, like there's rivers traversing the lunar surface. What are those? Well, they have to do with the electrical nature of the solar system. So take a look on my webpage, jmccsci.com, and I have a little artwork up there, a little surprise at the top of the page also. So visit the webpage, JMCC, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.